The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
While on the end times, as we began this, we're using as our the scripture from the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. And Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him and called his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another, and every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this thing happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' holy name, we come to you. What an exciting time. You've manifested your glory in this place, and we've been touched by your divine presence. Lord, I ask you to call to my remembrance the things that I've studied, Lord, or inspire me with prophetic words, Lord, that maybe I hadn't even thought about this morning, that the things that I say, every word would be orchestrated directly from the throne of God. And Father, I ask you to open the ears and understanding of all who are in this room that they might hear what it is the Spirit of God would say to us, the church, this day in this place. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus our Lord we pray. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. As I've been telling you over the last 4 weeks, this is not an attempt to give you all the little minutiae about the end times, but it is intended to answer three primary questions. Are we in the end times? If so, what can we expect? And last, and maybe most important of all, what should we be doing? All right? And we've talked about a lot of different things. The first sermon was, what can we know and how can we know it? The second sermon was, what about finances in a time of famine? The third one is, what's good and bad and ugly in the end times? Last week, we talked about what happens with the abomination of desolation. And today, our subject is, what can we learn from the fig tree? What can we learn from the fig tree? That, by the way, is a picture of a fig tree. I had no idea those puppies grew that big, but that was taken in Israel. And they grow in excess of 30 feet in height, and they have a very large umbrella of shade. Gives a little bit more meaning to the thing. One of the apostles was under the shade of a fig tree. All right, so it kind of gives you some insight into that. But let's look at the scripture for our text is Matthew 24, 32 through 36. "Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Jesus had just described in great detail the events of the end time that preceded the end time and the end of the age. And he gave a great object lesson through the fig tree. Now, the fig tree is not new at this point in the scriptures. In fact, the fig tree is mentioned over 60 times in the scriptures in various settings and situations. But you remember the first time we hear about the fig tree in the Bible? Was way back in the garden when Adam and Eve fell into sin and lost their place of innocence in the garden and became sinners and death and sickness and hell and all those things entered into the garden. Their attempt to cover up what they had done was to use a fig leaf. And I'm not going to preach that sermon, but we all know that the fig leaf doesn't do the job. It rottens and falls away, and our sins are exposed. And what God did when he drove them out of the garden, he made a clothing of an animal skin to cover them. And it's the first picture of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when blood was shed to cover sin. So, but the Old Testament is used over and over and over again, the imagery of the fig tree. And it really speaks of Israel. And it's used many, many times to draw parallels to Israel and how they were and what they did. In fact, I describe them as kind of a mixed bag because sometimes they produce good fruit. And we know from studying the Old Testament that many times what they did in the Old Testament, they did right. But we also know the mixed bag was that just as often they did things that were wrong. And so the fig tree produced good fruit. And it's a story, I believe it's in Jeremiah, it says about the baskets of good fruit from the fig tree and the fruit of that was worthless and dried and withered up that was also from the fig tree. And so it gives us a story of historically how Israel actually lived. They had this yo-yo up and down existence in their relationship with God. Now, Jesus spoke of the fig tree on three specific occasions. The first one that calls to mind is when he cursed the fig tree. And you remember that story. He was going into the temple. He went to get some fruit off the fig tree. It had no fruit. And he cursed it and withered and died. And his disciples and everyone else said, "Whoa! Who is this guy and what has he done?" Jesus didn't answer that question. He gave him another little object lesson. He said, if you had faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea," and it'd be done. The fig tree was no big deal, but there was a picture he was trying to say in that that episode. He told a parable of a fig tree. The fig tree, not the fig tree, but the fig tree, all right, where the fig tree didn't produce any fruit for 3 years. And the guy who was taking care of the owner's fig tree, the owner said, "Cut it down, get rid of it." He said, "Give me one more year." He said, I'll prune it, I'll fertilize it, and we'll see if it can produce fruit a little bit later on. And then finally, Jesus used this scripture that we've just read about it, the fig tree, when its leaves begin to come out, you know that summer's near and that we can know that the end is near when we begin to see the signs that are happening. Now, the lesson, he says you can learn a lesson, and the lessons we learn is that Israel was unfruitful. It was an unfruitful tree. That's the parable of the tree that was unfruitful. But God gave them a measure of grace. He always gives a measure of grace. One more opportunity to turn around, one more time to change and to be fruitful. The tree that was cursed speaks of Israel as under the curse of the law. Everyone who is under the law is under a curse. Why? Because you can't keep the law. Many of you in this room have tried it. In fact, everyone in this room has tried it. And everyone in this room has failed. You've been unable to keep the law. That is why we need grace. You're cursed. That fig tree represents the curse of the law that was upon Israel because they were under the law. And that's who he was talking to at that particular time, was the nation of Israel. And then finally, of the sign of things to come. So the fig tree plays a very big, important role in all of the history of the scriptures of Israel, and it applies to our own particular lives. So what can we learn? What can we learn from this? If you can learn a lesson. Let's see about all that we can learn. The first thing that we can learn is that the fig tree is predictable. It's very predictable. Let's look at verse 32. "Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you can know that summer is near." The end times are undeniable. The signs are there. Just as the fig tree produces its leaf, he wasn't talking so much about the tree other than giving as an illustration of what he had just told them about. all the signs that they would see, all the things we talked about the previous 4 weeks. He said, this is very predictable. One of the major truths that surround us is predictability. There are some things that we know are going to happen. The sun always rises. Now, some days around here, like we had this week, the sun was rising and you didn't see it because it was covered up by the clouds. But the sun rose over the earth. It has done that from the beginning. There's not been a day since the creation of the world where the sun didn't come up. Now, there were some miracles about the sun being delayed a while, but the truth is that you can go to bed tonight knowing that if the Lord tarries and you wake up, the sun will pop up. In fact, when I was asked to do the sunrise service, Pastor Donald Bryant from right down the block here at the church, and he asked me if I would do that. And I said, yes. I said, but the guy who led me to the Lord, my mentor, my dear friend Jim Hickman, always believed the Lord was coming back on Easter Sunday. So I told Brother Bryant, I said, listen, if the Lord comes back this Easter Sunday, I won't be there, but you can preach for me. Took him a second to say, okay, Brother Morris. So, but it's predictable. We know it's going to happen. Life and death are evident. There's life and death all around us, from a tree that starts as a tiny sprout breaking through the ground, comes up and creates a great oak tree, it will die. Those of you who know a little bit about oak trees, they say it has about a 300-year life, 100 years of growth, 100 years where it's just established, and then 100 years of death. So an oak tree, the big oak trees we see around here, last, historically around 300 years. We know that children are born. Beautiful little babies are born. And we also know that the old folks die. That happens. Sometimes young folks die, but that's the cycle of life. We see life all around us, and we see death, and it's very predictable. You know the old saying. One thing you can be sure of, and that's death and taxes. In the way that things are going in our government, I didn't believe the second part of that, but I believe it now. It'll be death and taxes forever, okay? So that's predictable. Nations will rise and fall. Just go read your history books. They come up and they disappear. They come up and they disappear. There is an order to things everywhere. And Jesus used this predictability of our world that we live in to let us know that there is coming an end to all of this. Now, you might sit there and say, oh, well, I don't believe all that stuff. You know, that's just those old folks, they just have nothing else to do but write those stories. And, you know, I don't believe all that. Well, darling, you don't need to believe it. It's coming anyway. All right? It's happening. It's all around us. This end times. Now, some of you who are really wise will say, oh, well, they had these things before. You know, back in history, they always thought it was the end times. In fact, Peter writes about it when somebody says that. And they said, well, how could these things be? It's been like this since the very beginning. It's always been that way. Peter said, did you not know that one day is like 1,000 years with the Lord? So you don't know. We don't know the predictability of when, but we know that these things will come to pass. And I admonish you to pay attention to the signs of the end times. That's what I've been trying to do, to bring these things to you. And you say, well, I don't believe it's the end time. Well, I might have missed it. I'm looking around this room here. I might have missed it by maybe 70 or 80 years. Okay? But your time is coming. A lot sooner than that, probably, for most of us in this room. All right? So what about your end time? Are you ready for your end time? Because there is going to come a day when somebody's going to stand over your body and say, they were such a good person, hopefully, you know, goodbye. They're going to put you in the ground. That'll be the end of your physical body. This world will come to an end. The other thing is, and Jesus was trying to say, that He will come back. The glorious Lord will come back. He is coming back. He said, I'll be back. Just like I left here, I'm coming back in the clouds. Oh, well, that's for all those crazy weirdo believers who believe that. You know, we're more sophisticated than that. Well, you better get rid of your sophistication, honey. I can't even say the word because the Lord's coming back. And He could come back at any moment. There's nothing holding Him back. That is truth predictability. Just as sure as that fig tree is going to put out its leaves, you can rest assured that Jesus will return. Amen. The fact that fig tree will die and never produce its leaf, but still the Lord's coming back. It is going to happen. You can predict it. It's true. You can be a prophet about that. Now, Israel is not out of the picture yet. Now, this is a big theological problem. Is God finished with Israel? That's a question. Now, some of you who don't believe that, there's a big argument on the other side that believes that it is over with. I personally believe that the Lord is not finished with Israel because there's so many things that talk about Israel and Israel being the fig tree. I believe the Lord Jesus has given us a sign of that. Now, we know for sure, using Israel as our timepiece, as our fig tree, if you will, that the temple was destroyed. Jesus said it would go. It's gone. I mean, it's flatter than a fritter. The abomination of desolation. Now, some are looking for that to happen. I believe it's happening right now, as I told you last week. It's all my personal belief. It's my opinion. And I reserve the right to be wrong. All right? I reserve the right to be wrong. But I suspect that it may be that dome of the rock that's sitting right over the most holy place where the temple once stood. Whatever, that's something to think about. And remember, we're trying to see whether or not we're in the end times. Here's a big one for you. Up until 1946, no preacher in the world could ever say this. But I can say to you right now that Israel is a nation today. Because prior to 1946, Israel had not been a nation from way back when they just got picked up and plucked up and were owned by everybody. So they hadn't been a nation for a long, 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 long time under their own government. They rule their own roost. By the way, this is parenthetical. This is a little political, but I'll just give you this. If you think that Israel is going to pay any attention to what we say in the United States about what they should do if they feel threatened by Iran, you better think again, honey. They'll nuke, if they have a nuclear weapon, and if they probably do, if they need to use it, they'll use it. But they are not going to allow their nation to be eliminated again as it has been historically by the madman who tried to get rid of that nation, all right? So that's just a little political facts for you to know about. These people will not allow their nation to be destroyed again without a fight. That's the facts of the matter. So again, this may be a good indication for you if that happens. Israel decides today, tomorrow morning, to get its planes in the air and go in and bomb Iran, you can believe that things are going to get real bad real quick. Iran has a military agreement with Russia. If they decide, if Russia decides to get involved in the fray, we have military agreements with Israel. Do you see the picture? Things should get awful bad, awful fast, all right? So don't be discounting what's going on over there in that part of the world. And Revelation speaks of Israel being redeemed. Now, let me mess up some of your theology, okay? I know this is going to hurt, you know, but I love to do it. I just love to mess with you. Some of you theologians have been reading the book of Revelation. It's 144,000 Jews are going to be, you know, redeemed and rescued and served. And you're waiting for the last one for that to happen. That is not a number that's trying to tell us an exact number. In fact, what it is, those of you who know a little bit about numerology, they use numbers, all right? The number four speaks of the cosmos. There are four winds, four directions, you know, all of that's taking place. The number three is the number of perfection. When you multiply three times four, you get the number 12, which is what they consider the best in governmental things. Like we have 12 tribes. We have 12 apostles, you know. There's 12 gates on the New Jerusalem. You know, just all those things. I'm not going through the whole thing. The number 1,000 is, if you want to talk about the ultimate in completion, all right? So if you take 3 times 4 is 12 times 1,000, you end up with 144,000. He's trying to give us a picture of there are going to be an awesome number of people that God is going to redeem. And it's my belief that that is going to not only include Israel, but also talking about us, the new Israel. that'll be saved out of that. We've been grafted in the Old and New Testament. 12 times 12 is 144 times 1,000 is 144,000. Okay? So I know that messed you up. Go check it out for yourself and see if I'm right. All right? So the point is that God's not finished with Israel, and there's a lot that's going to happen before it's all over. So it's all very predictable, and we can know it. It says we can learn, we can understand. Now, it does say we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but we can know the seasons, all right? So we're looking at the season. We're looking at the broad, big picture. The second thing I want to bring to your attention this morning is the fig tree only produces figs. Now, I know that's hard to believe, but it only produces figs. Let's look at James chapter 3, verse 12. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? And the answer is no. Or a grapevine bear figs? No. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Now, what is that all about? In a world filled with lies, in a world filled with things that you can't depend on, in a world where from every direction comes things to distort us, where we can't know the truth anymore, people wonder, what is the truth? I need to know the truth. Well, fig trees only produce figs is trying to give us a lesson that we can learn. Where can we find the truth? It's hard to find it in families these days. One time, families stayed together forever. Now, families stay together for better or for worse until we decide we don't like each other anymore, and that's all over with, all right? Oh, and we don't like... there was a gal on TV last night who was trying to give her a reason why her family, she should be allowed to get married. She thinks she has a right to get married. The problem is she wants to marry her girlfriend that she's been living with for 13 years, and she finds it very distasteful that we, conservative Christian people, don't want her to do that. Well, remember that God created Adam and Eve, not Jane and Jane or Steve and Steve, you know? That God created men and women. By the way, if everyone was homosexual, it would be the end of the human race. It would disappear. Just use your noggin, folks. Just think about that a little bit. But the family unit lies to it. Governments lie to us. I know it's hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe, but not everything coming out of your senators and your congressmen and your president and the whole bunch of them are always telling us the truth.
Pretty much the other way around.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Pretty much the other way around. So there's lies being, they're telling us that fig trees are not fig trees, that they're grape trees or some other kind of foolishness, okay? The news media, you can't believe a thing. I've had the privilege of being quoted in the newspaper in this town about 6 or 7 times. They haven't got it right yet. The only way I discovered that what I put in the newspaper is right was when I write it myself. And fortunately, I've been able to do that the last several months as I've been able to write these articles for the new Slidell Independence. By the way, if you have a business and you want to advertise in that paper. The guy who is, name is Kevin Cherry, who is the owner and the editor of that paper, is a great Christian guy, and you'll help him in his new newspaper. He didn't ask me to give a commercial, but I just gave him one, all right? Businesses lie to us. They tell us that what we're buying is going to last forever. Well, forever is as long as the warranty is in place, all right? As soon as the warranty's over, you know, you're on your own. And you've had that happen to you. I had a car that I bought. It had a 36,000-mile warranty on it. That car was supposed to last a long time. I had 36,500 miles on it and spent about $1,000 for a new transmission in it. It was out of warranty, all right? So businesses tell us things. They tell us that the pistachio nuts that you bought are good for you. You find out it's got E. coli in it. You can't eat the peanut butter. You can't eat the pistachio nuts. I don't know what we're going to eat next. It's not going to kill us, all right? And they do this, and then they discovered with the peanut thing that they knew that the peanut butter they were putting out was contaminated, and they put it out anyway because of the cost involved in not doing it. That's a public record. Things you just cannot believe. And sadly, last of all, this is a real hurtful thing. You can't believe everything you hear in church. Just because a person stands in the pulpit and says that, you know, thus saith the Lord, don't believe everything you hear. That's what's wrong with most of the church. We've been told so many lies. We got such a fouled up theology, we can't tell right from wrong. You know, we don't know what the truth is. Isn't it great that Jesus said, I am the truth? Do you know Him? You better know what you know, so when a guy like me stands in a pulpit, you'll know when I'm telling you the truth and when I'm telling you a lie. Now, I won't purposely mislead you, but you've heard me say this all the time. I don't agree with everything that I say. I try to tell you when it's my opinion so you can differentiate between what I think and what the Word of God says. But there's all kinds of lies that have been told from the pulpit. People who are in the pulpit that shouldn't be in the pulpit. But this guy up in Colorado, you know, he's preaching against homosexual, you know, against it, against it, against it. And we find out he's one. Having an affair with his massage, his masseuse, or whatever you call that person. Happens all the time. You better. That's one thing I like about a little church. You guys know me. You know where I live. You know what I'm doing. I'm not some kind of icon figure before thousands of people. And not that I'm opposed to being an icon before thousands of people, but at least in this environment, you know who I am. You see my daily life. I was talking to a man yesterday and that I met for the first time, and he was, you know, it's, you meet people, you talk about, you know, where you, he was a man about my age, and, you know, you were tired of working and whatever. And he asked me what I did, and I told him I had a computer business, and I sold it. I said, but now I pastor a church here in town, and I had my black BMW parked there. I said, I have to tell the people at church all the time that the church didn't pay for the BMW, that I bought that with my computer money, all right? So people would know what the truth of the matter is, all right? So, but there's only one truth, and Jesus claimed that He was the truth. The truth is that this world will end. As sure as the fig tree produces fruit, this world will come to an end. As sure as you, when you see the fig trees of Israel produce a changing, you know that it's summer. You know that the end is near. As sure as there's an order to the universe. Thank you, everybody always thanking God. There's an order to the universe. Because if it wasn't, no telling what may be happening. You may be, some of you be floating out of here, and the other half of you be stuck in the ground, couldn't move, all right? There's an order to the universe. As sure as there is life and death, the end is coming. As sure as Jesus lived, died, buried, and rose from the dead, the end is coming. As sure if you have sinned, I use the S word in church. I don't say that a lot, but I tell you what, I'm looking at a bunch of sinners. All of you have sinned. That's one thing when Jim Hickman led me to the Lord. Thank goodness he didn't ask me if I believed the Bible, because I'd have told him no, but he got me right on the spot. He said, have you ever sinned? It didn't take me long to answer that question. Everybody sins. We're all sinners. We've all done things that we shouldn't do. We've sinned against God, ourselves, our family, and everyone else. As sure as you need forgiveness, the end is coming. You need to be forgiven. There's not a person in this room doesn't need forgiveness. That's what the Calvary is all about, that you can be forgiven. I love that story. I told it a couple of weeks ago about when those men brought their friend and cut out a hole in the roof, brought him down where Jesus was, and Jesus stunned them all by telling the guy that he was healed. And everybody went, whoa, who is this guy who could say that? Well, right before that, he really boxed him out because he told the man his sins were forgiven. And that had really blown their mind. And he said that you might know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. He said to that man, rise up and walk. You know, there's nothing you can do about your sins. Once you've done it, it's done. It's the indelible ink. There's no backing up. There's no eraser. There's no oops. There's nothing you can do to make it better. Once you've sinned, you are a sinner by nature, and because of your fallen nature, we're all sons of Adam, and because of our fallen nature, we do what comes naturally. And what do we do that comes naturally? We all sin. Nobody had to teach you to be a sinner. You figured it out for yourself. Don't tell it. I'm getting to the rest of my sermon, Rose. I'm preaching, all right? We're all sinners. We sin naturally. And what we need is a new nature. And the only way you get a new nature is when you receive Jesus Christ into your life. Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen. Nicodemus said to him, I don't get it. What do you mean, be born again? Should I climb back into my mother's womb and be born a second time? He said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. What happens when you receive Christ into your life, by faith, your sins are forgiven and you have a new nature. You're no longer a sinner on the road to hell. You're a sinner saved by grace with a new nature. And when God looks at you, He doesn't look at you and as what you were. He looks at you as that new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, I know for many of you, it's hard to conceive this, but when Jesus died, He died for all your sins, past, present, and future. One of the lies that's crept into the church is the idea that all of your sins are forgiven when you pray the sinner's prayer and ask Christ into your life, but from then on, you need to take care of your own sins. That's not true. There's nothing you can do about that. All of your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. You say, oh, does that mean I can go out and sin? Oh, you can if you want to. Thing is that it won't be held against you as far as your salvation is concerned, but if you want to live like hell on earth, go ahead and sin. You want to do something wrong, you'll find yourself in jail. If you rob a bank, that's where you're going. You know, if you commit adultery, you're going to lose your family. If you look at pornography, you'll get addicted to it, and you'll live with that kinds of thing. It's not about forgiveness, it's about living as a sinner in this world. But your sins, or think about this, friend. Everybody in this room, you weren't even a gleam in your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy's eyes when Jesus died. He died for all of our sins. They were all future to Him. And I've got a series of sermons about that subject from the book of Galatians, and I know that's hard for some of you to receive because you haven't been told that. You haven't been taught that. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You can't put new wine in old wineskins, all right? You need a new wineskin. That's you new, and the new wine is Christ in you. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? So you are a new creation in Christ. That's what the forgiveness is in Christ. Just as sure as you're here. Most of you are here, aren't you? Anyone here that's not here, would you please raise your hand? I thought Dawn raised her hand. She just scratched her head. Just as sure as you're here, the end is coming. It will be here. And just as sure as there's a heaven, and just as sure as there's a hell, the end is coming. The question is, will you be ready when the end comes? Nobody can answer that question but you. Are you ready? Are you ready? The third thing that I want to mention to you this morning is the fig tree is perpetual. I wasn't going to use the word eternal, but I was trying to get all my P's in a row. And I said, so I just want to show you, I've learned that in seminary, I know how to do that now. Let's look at chapter 24, verses 34 and 35. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Everything will end except the word of God, who is Jesus Christ. Now you will live in eternity. Let me back that up. You will not necessarily live in eternity. You will exist in eternity. You'll either be alive in eternity with eternal life, or you will exist in eternity in eternal death. That's a complete separation from life, who is God in Christ Jesus. All right? So you're going to be in one of two places. You're not going to disappear. If you think that you're going to die one day and they're going to put you in a croaker sack and throw you in the Mississippi River for the turtles and the fish to eat on, and that's the end of you, you're sadly mistaken. Because as soon as you close your eyes in this earth, in this life, you're going to discover there is another life. And there is another death. It's an eternal death. Or you were born again believer. If you're born again, you have life. If you have not been born again, you will exist in eternal death. The scriptures talk about a place of complete torment, where you'll be tormented night and day without ceasing. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I want to go there. And the only way I know to escape that is through faith in Jesus Christ and being born again. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. That's a promise that the scriptures tell us. So you can trust in that. That is a perpetual truth that will not change. There will be streets of gold. Now, because I'm not necessarily I don't literally believe necessarily everything in the book of Revelation is literal. They may not be gold. They may not be really, gold bullion streets. But it's going to be pretty cool, whatever it is, all right? And if y'all heard that joke about the guy who showed up in heaven and he wanted to take everything with him and he got his fortune made into gold bricks and he went up to heaven and St. Peter asked him, what do you got in that bag? And he said, well, the Lord told me I could take some stuff with me up here. And St. Peter opened it up, looked at it, he said, what are you doing with bricks for the street? What are you going to do with those up here? In other words, the value that we hold on to here on earth doesn't mean a thing compared to the value of things in the heavenly realm. God's trying to tell us, friends, that what He has prepared for us, that it's so great that the thing that men go to war over, steal, rob, murder to get, gold, it's so irrelevant because the very streets of heaven are paved with gold. You get the picture? He's trying to tell us something. It doesn't necessarily have to be physical gold, but if it's there, great. It talks about the 12 gates are made of pearls, a single pearl big enough that you would go through. Now, whether or not it's a real pearl, I don't know, but I think it's telling us that we go through the gate as a pearl is created through suffering because of the contamination, and it grows, and it's, the story of a pearl. There is suffering that happens that allows us to get into the heavenly kingdom through those 12 giant gates. So I don't necessarily know that there'll be physically gates. There's a river of life. I don't know if it's going to have boats on it and docks, but it's trying to tell us that there's so much life. It's a river of life. We live with death all around us. Everything is dying. We step on an ant and kill it. Plants die. I plant a plant, it dies. People die. Everything's dying. But there, it's a river of life. Life will be everywhere. It'll be blooming and growing and it'll never die. That's the picture of the river of life. The tree of life is there. It was in the garden to begin with. Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and died. The tree of life is there for us, the healing of the nation. We'll eat of that and are actually partakers of it. When we partake of Christ, then we can live forever. That's waiting for us just as sure as anything in this world ever exists. There will be a rapture. We may go. I don't know. How many of you ever practiced for the rapture? Just kind of get a little start, all right? Just kind of ready for the rapture. It's going to happen. Those of you who don't know, the rapture is when God comes. It means to be caught up. When He returns, those of us who are alive will be caught up in the air. We'll meet the Lord in the air. And it says that those who have been in sleep, those who have gone on before us, they will come out of the grave triumphant in the great resurrection. Friend, Jesus was resurrected. You are a believer, you will be resurrected. Now, somebody says, well, how's He going to do that? What about people that was in the sea and, they died at sea? Or what if they got blown up? What if their molecules are all over the place? Oh, you're worried about that? The God who created the heavens and the earth, the one who hung the stars in place, that scientists can't even figure out how far away things are? They're looking out through the Hubble telescope, and you think God's worried about getting your pieces back together? Holy cow, He can get it from anywhere. It doesn't matter. But it'll be a new body. It'll be just like Christ. And you'll never die in that glorified, resurrected body. You know how I know you'll get the resurrection? Hallelujah, I'm about to get myself happy here. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And when you receive Him, you have resurrected life already. You're going to live forever. That's the promise of God. It's a truth that will never change. Nothing's ever going to change that. The resurrection. Oh, man, I get excited about the resurrection.
Amen.
And there's a day of judgment. Now, everybody's worried about the great white throne judgment. Man, everything I did is going to be put up on a big motion picture projector, and everybody's going to see everything I did wrong. That's what some of you believe. That is not true! When you become a believer, your sins are far away as the east is from the west. They've been blotted out, eradicated, removed by the blood of Christ. You don't need to worry about at the judgment seat of Christ, there's still things going to happen. The dead will be judged, not you. You're alive. That's what he's talking about. And what they did will be shown. And what they'll know is that they have turned away from God. You don't want to be at the judgment seat of Christ as an unbeliever, because that's going to be a hell of a place to be. Excuse my expression. You don't want to be there. That's what's going to happen to those who don't know God. They will be cast into a lake of fire that burns forever and ever. But oh, praise God, Jim, there's some other books there. And there's a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're going to open it up. Dennis Cochran, come on down. Woo! Hallelujah. Regina Brunenden, come on down. Hallelujah. Barbara Radosti, come on down. I'm not going to name everybody in the building, but your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God has prepared a place for you, and He's not worried about your sins, honey. Your sins have been washed away when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't believe all that foolishness about your sins being shown and everybody seeing it. That's not true. It's not in the Bible. It's some preachers eating pizza that bad on Saturday night and preach that stuff. It's just not true. Your sins have been forgiven if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of God would that be? That He forgives you here, and then He gets up there and is going to show your whole life to everybody else. I mean, use your heads a little bit. Does that sound like the Lord Jesus Christ doing that to you? There's no way. That's not going to happen. What you're there for, He'll give you some rewards. He'll give you some crowns. He'll give you some stuff. We'll just throw it back at Him and say, I don't want it. I don't care. I don't need it. I'm just glad to be alive and be in heaven. That's what we'll say. Woo! Glory to God. It's going to be a glorious day, and it is happening now. You can rest assured it's an eternal, perpetual truth. You don't have to wait to get eternal life. You can have it right now. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have it right now, today. All you have to do is pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I agree with Pastor Morris. I know I'm a sinner. And I'm sorry for what I've done wrong. I believe that Jesus lived, that He died, that He rose from the grave. And based on what He did, I put my faith and my trust in You. And I ask You to forgive me for all my sins. Let me be birthed again with the new birth from heaven by the Spirit of God. And when you do that, in faith, and you believe it. So with the mouth, we confess our sins. We confess Jesus as Lord. We believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. And you, doesn't say you might be saved. It says you shall be saved. You shall be saved. Jesus has eternal life, and you can have Him today. You don't have to wait. And you know what else you can do with eternal life? You can share it with your family. You can share it with your friends. You can share it with your neighbors. You can share it with the enemies. You can share it with anyone. You can tell them what you did when you received Christ into your life, and your life was changed eternally. Everything will happen exactly as written in the Scriptures, and everyone can know the truth in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's all I'm going to preach about the end times. I think, for a little while. Let's all stand. All that negative stuff kind of disappears. Doesn't mean a whole lot to you when you start looking at the good things that are going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, we come to You. Thank You for Your precious promises that have been given to us. Thank You that we have life in Christ. And it's available to any and all who will call on your name. Father, I pray anyone who hears my voice this day, Lord, or some future date listening to this CD on the internet, Lord, that they would stop and pray and ask Christ into their life. A simple prayer of, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus lived, that He died, that He rose from the dead just for me. I turn my life over to You completely today. Completely today. Father, I thank You for this precious time we've had. Thank You for Your Word that You preserved for us, that we could study and learn of You in this place. Keep us safe from all evil. Watch over us today as we go about Your business. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, one of our traditions is we celebrate people's birthday once a month. And this is the great month of April. Is that not true? By the way, I want you to be here next week. Why the Cross is about life. We have got a video that Jim found. It is awesome. You wait till you see this. It's about a 5-minute video, if I remember right. And it is an awesome, awesome video. And that'll be the topic of my sermon, is why the cross is about life. Anyway, if you were born, anyone here was, most of you were born. I didn't say April, but the other ones were raising your hand. Those of you who were born, all right, in April, raise your hands. One.